Usually when we check in on recycling data, the numbers are, well, they're disappointing.
They are.
But the figure we have today, 9%, that's the global recycling rate for plastics.
It's a stark number. And what's worse is that it's not for lack of trying. You put things in the blue bin, you do your part.
Right.
The system itself is just failing to handle how complex modern materials have become. Most of it just ends up in a landfill.
Exactly. So for this deep dive, we're digging into a Canadian company, DuroClean Technologies. They claim they can actually fix that 9% figure.
And not by building better sorting centers, but by changing the fundamental chemistry of how we break this stuff down.
They call it hydrochemolytic technology, or HCT.
Which is a bit of a mouthful.
It is.
But if you strip away the branding, the idea is fascinating. They're trying to take these junk molecules, dirty yogurt cup, heavy oil, whatever, and use water to dismantle them back into something valuable.
And do it without the massive energy cost we usually see.
That's the claim.
Okay, but I want to push back a bit on the how. We've heard about chemical recycling for decades. Why is that number still stuck at 9%? What's the real bottleneck?
The bottleneck is a dirty feedstock.
Meaning?
Well, mechanical recycling, just grinding stuff up, that only works if the plastic is pristine.
No labels, no glue, no food residue.
Exactly. Any of that. And it gets rejected.
Right.
So the industry turns to chemical recycling, usually something called pyrolysis.
Which is basically just cooking the plastic at super high heat, right?
It's brutal cooking, yeah. You heat it in a vacuum, but you create a lot of char, which is just useless burnt carbon. And the oil you get is unstable.
Unstable how?
It just wants to clump back together into sludge. To fix it, you have to pump in huge amounts of expensive hydrogen gas.
And that's the killer. The cost of the hydrogen.
It's the killer. It requires massive infrastructure. And this is where Aduro's approach is so different. They're not trying to burn the plastic into submission.
They're using water. This is the part I had trouble visualizing. I wash my plastic containers all the time. They don't dissolve.
Right. But you're probably not doing it at 350 degrees Celsius with a catalyst.
Fair point.
Think of it like chemical scissors. They use water and these really cheap organic agents like glycerol or ethanol.
Okay.
When they react, they generate a hydrogen equivalent right there in the soup.
So they make their own hydrogen on the spot, no need to pump it in.
Exactly. So when those chemical scissors cut the long plastic chain, the ends are sticky. They want to rebond.
Right. That's the sludge problem.
But Aduro's process immediately caps those sticky ends with the hydrogen from the water reaction. It stabilizes everything instantly.
So it stays liquid. It stays valuable.
And it means they can process that dirty feedstock, the stuff with labels and food on it, and still recover about 95% of the useful hydrocarbons.
That 95% number is massive.
Okay.
But the documents say they aren't just looking at the recycling bin. They're doing this with oil sands, too.
It's the same chemical logic. Bitumen from the oil sands is like peanut butter. It's too thick to pipe.
You have to add expensive thinners, the diluents.
Right. But with this process, they use the chemical scissors to snip those long, heavy chains. And here's the really clever part.
Go on.
Bitumen naturally has trace metals in it. Nickel, vanadium, usually that's a contaminant you have to remove.
Mm-hmm.
Aduro actually uses those metals as the catalyst for the reaction.
Wait, so the dirt in the oil is what helps clean the oil?
Precisely. They turn the problem into the solution. And they can do the same with renewables, upgrading corn oil byproducts into renewable diesel.
It sounds like a Swiss Army knife for carbon. But is it real? A lot of science projects die in the lab.
They're past the beaker stage. The sources point to their R2 reactor. It's a continuous flow unit.
And why is continuous flow so important?
Because batch chemistry is easy. It's like baking one cake. Continuous flow is an assembly line. It proves you can run this 24/7.
And they've done that.
They've done 36-hour continuous runs with less than 5% waste. That shows the process is stable.
And they aren't trying to build these massive refineries themselves, are they?
No, that's the smart part. They're looking to license the tech. They have this customer engagement program with giants like Shell and Total Energies.
So they're letting the big players test it out themselves.
Exactly. Prove it on their own waste streams. They're selling the scissors, not building the whole barbershop.
It really does shift your perspective. We think of waste as this dead end, something to just burn or bury.
But if you look at it this way, it's just a misplaced resource. We're moving from burning our problems to chemically remodeling them.
It leaves you with a pretty wild thought. The sources suggest this technology can scale down really well. If that's true, Could we get to a point where we stop drilling for oil entirely and just start mining our local landfills for the exact same molecules?
If the efficiency holds up, that's the logical endpoint. You'd be closing the loop completely.
Something to think about next time you take out the trash. Thanks for listening to this deep dive.